Welcome to Rewind, the book club where we reread old YA books and tell you our unfiltered opinions with lots of wine involved. We're your hosts. I'm Sarah Jones Dittmeyer.
And I'm Emily Cavender.
So we're here to talk about the Twilight movies.
Yeah, normally when we go into these episodes, we have like a game plan. We have like notes, questions, like topics. We have none of that for this. But you know, we do have friends.
Yes, we do. We have our official Twilight besties on with us today.
Yeah, and I think it'll be really fun because we have two Twilight besties here that are they're very different in their Twilight fanness. Is that a word? I don't know. Yeah, so we're going to talk about their histories with Twilight, because we've talked about our histories with Twilight in our first episodes and our long love slash hate affair with them. So we're going to let our guests do the same thing. So which one do you think we should hear from first?
I think we should hear from Nicole, because I'm biased, but I also just want to set the scene really quickly. Nicole and I are very OG Twilight fans, to the point where we had a Twilight party just last week. And at one part, we were in the night, we were playing Twilight Scene It. And it was one of those like things where the question was, what's missing from this like image or whatever? And it was, it's Edward in biology, and not even like half a second passes, and Nicole screams out the owl, and I scream out the wings, and everybody else at the party turned to us and was like, what the fuck?
Honestly, just like the fact that you had a Twilight party, so jealous that I'm across the country and could not attend in costume myself. But we're getting ahead of ourselves. Nicole, introduce yourselves. Tell us who you are.
Okay. Well, I'm Nicole, and Sarah and I have been very close since middle school. And that's also the time that Twilight entered our lives. So it's been a great long run. As she said, Twilight party last week, still going strong. I'm excited to be here.
Okay. So now so we each invited a friend, basically. So Nicole is Sarah's friend. I invited my friend, Brittany. Her relationship with Twilight is very different from the rest of us. So I'm really excited to have her fresh perspective here. Brittany, tell us about yourself and your relationship with Twilight.
Yes. Hi, I'm Brittany. Am I allowed to explain my relationship with Twilight?
Yes. That's okay, why you're here.
Okay, well, I hate it. I feel strong.
You thoroughly enjoyed it.
I love the movies. I've never read the books. I have strong opinions about books and proper literature. So I watched the movies because I hit a sad point in life. And so I contacted my friends, Emily included, and said, fine, I'll do this. I'll watch this with you. You better take me up on this offer before I come to my senses. And I have seen the movies, and wow, do I love the movies.
Yeah. For additional context, this was a few months ago. This was the first time she had ever seen the movies. And we recorded the shit out of her because there are so many TikToks of just Brittany watching Twilight. Because this is like the first time in my life I got to witness Twilight with a newbie for the first time, and watching somebody watch Twilight is like the most entertaining thing I think I've ever done in my life, mainly because Brittany is hilarious. And also for additional context, Brittany has strong opinions because she is a literature person. She's currently getting her master's in, is there a specific or just English lit?
English lit now. There's more specifics for what I'm studying, but
yeah,
the English.
We fight about literature on the reg. One of our friends is also in a master's program, and we did a focus group together about literature. And so they would ask a question and Brittany would answer. And then I'd be like, I disagree with everything Brittany just said. So Brittany and I love to talk about books. Even though she hasn't read Twilight, will she ever read them? We're working on it.
I do have a question I just want to post to Nicole really quick, because on this podcast, when we were talking about our initial like reading of Twilight, I was the last person in our friend group to read it. Like, Nicole, you definitely read it before me, right?
I think I was one of the first people in our group to introduce that. Yeah.
I was pretty late to reading it too. By the time I read it, the first three books were already out. So I only had to wait for the last one, but yeah. So normally in our previous episodes, the way we do this is where one of us will like come up with a list of discussions or questions, and the other person gets to answer and we'll like talk through the book. We're trying to talk about five movies in one episode. Did we come up with a plan of any kind? No. Other than maybe trying to limit like a time limit per episode and then just kind of like letting the conversation go where it goes. So does that mean we need to like set a timer?
I can set a timer.
Okay. Before we set the timer, I want to start by asking you both a very important question. Team Edward or Team Jacob?
I have to go Team Edward. Always have been.
When I was watching the movies, I was like, Team Jacob, why would anybody be Team Edward? And I was one of the few people on the planet that managed to make it to my nearly mid-30s, not knowing about the whole ribonucleic acid Jacob thing. And that was alarming, and that put me back at Team Edward. So,
oh, I can't wait to talk about Breaking Dawn because I am so curious about, since you didn't know it was coming, how that experience was for you.
We have it on tape.
Also, that is my favorite fake Renesmee name I have ever heard. Ribonucleic acid. Incredible, honestly. The way Sarah and I did it when we talked about the books was we talked about what we were originally. I was always Team Edward from day one when I read the books the first time around. This time around, we like did it like book by book. We did like a check-in. We both switched to Team Jacob for a second, like a hot second in New Moon.
Yeah.
And then in Eclipse, abandoned that ship and burned it to the ground and returned to Edward.
Jacob becomes the worst in Eclipse.
Yeah. And then he doubles down by falling in love with an infant and Breaking Dawn. So, you know, it's great. It's great. Cool. Okay. So we want to say like, what, we're like 10 minutes per movie.
Yeah.
You want to set us a timer, Sarah?
I am on it. 10 minutes. First movie, Twilight. Let's go.
So does anyone have any thoughts? Off the bat.
I mean, I can go. I mean, so Nicole and I went to the midnight premiere of Twilight, and I've talked before about how there was a whole sub genre on YouTube of Twilight YouTubers, and they covered everything from like the casting to like the first photos that were released. And so I specifically remember Nicole and I and Kate and I think Holly all went to the midnight premiere.
And your uncle.
Of Twilight. Yes, my uncle came with us and we cosplayed going to the premiere. And my uncle, who is always down for like fun stuff, dressed up as a police officer to be Charlie.
He did.
He's a trooper. He's the best. But through like the YouTube Twilight era, there were like a few YouTubers that like we got to know really well and like covered everything. And I think what makes Twilight the movie really nostalgic for me, at least, is that like I remember getting to see it sort of come together from like the very first stages of development.
Yeah.
Nicole, do you want to expand on that at all?
I remember thinking back to having this image of Twilight in our head before there was even a cast. And it's hard to get back to that pre-image, but it's so funny now thinking about how long we've been on this journey, I guess I'll say.
I remember Stephanie Meyer, like when she still had like a blog on her website, like posted like her own like fan cast for the movie and like wanted Henry Cavill to play Edward, which is like, yeah, that was her like big choice to play Edward, which is like so weird, like thinking about it now. Nicole, are you okay if I tell the story about the script being
Oh, yeah, of course.
So Nicole and I, we were really popular when we were younger.
So popular.
And, you know, I'm an actor. Nicole has always been into filmmaking. And so we used to like have sleepovers and like record stuff, you know, do little skits and stuff. And so when parts of the Twilight script were released, we filmed those like ourselves with us being the characters. And there's video evidence somewhere on some hard
drive. Where is the footage? I need the footage.
I've never seen the footage. I don't know where it exists. It does exist. I don't know where.
It does exist of Nicole and I sitting at my dining or my kitchen table doing the biology scene with like a stack of like quarters for like the slides. I also remember filming the like cafeteria scene, but like we used my cardboard cutout of Edward for that.
Oh my God, Brittany, pause. I have Brittany. So Sarah had a cardboard cutout and she was like 13 years old. And she did, I can't remember if I told you this already. She put it at the end of her bed. You're so it would well. Watch her sleep, just like how Edward watched Bella sleep.
As I said, we were really cool back then.
So cool.
So cool.
I should have gotten you a cardboard cutout of Edward for Christmas, Brittany.
Oh,
missed man. Opportunity.
Loved that.
I tried to find my cardboard cutout before Nicole's Twilight party, and I can't find him.
He must be dead. R.I.P.
Maybe.
Okay, Brittany. Tell me your thought process as you watched the Twilight movie for the first time this year.
I went into it expecting to hate it. I was told by numerous people who still loved the movies that it's terrible, so don't go into it expecting a fabulous movie. So I was ready to have some fun just going into it, not taking it terribly seriously. And gosh, it was great. So many things just sent me over the edge with laughter. The fan in the biology room really broke my soul. And I didn't even know there were so many more goodies to come.
That slow-mo shot of her walking into biology class and the fan blowing her hair. God, what an iconic moment of cinematic history, truly. Yeah, I'm a firm believer that the first Twilight movie is the worst movie I've ever seen in my life, just in terms of like film quality. That weird filter that's over everything is everything about it is like complete garbage, and I love it so much.
And it made a ton of money, enough to make the rest of the films.
So much money. Oh man, I'm trying to think like what my favorite moment of that movie is. And honestly, right now I'm going to say, how long have you been 17?
Like I was going to say that too.
That whole conversation is so.
No, good. I think so my good. Favorite moment is where Bella like has this weird line where I think she's supposed to say like, it doesn't matter or it does not matter, but she like combines the two and yeah. She goes, it doesn't matter.
It does not matter.
Oh man, or the baseball scene. Oh God.
Okay, but can we get over? Okay, we have like that baseball scene is iconic, and like I can never listen to Supermassive Black Hole like the same ever since I saw that film. Oh. And that song specifically amps me up so much every time I hear it.
You hear it, and you're like, it's time for vampire baseball.
Yes.
God, it's so good. Brittany, what's your favorite moment that you think about from the first movie when we watched it?
What you said about the how long have you been 17, that, and I've also enjoyed it because now that I've seen the movies, when like jokes come up on TikTok or something like that, I'm like, oh, I understand that reference and find it incredibly funny. Another thing that I also just absolutely lost my complete shit when I heard it.
Nobody sends me more Twilight TikToks than Brittany. I'm just throw that out there. They're so good.
Nicole, what's your favorite moment?
There's so many. It's so hard to pick. Possibly even just immediately following the how long have you been 17 moment, the reveal of the sunlight effect. The chimes of the glitter bells, you just can't get better than that. The awkward way that they lay in the field that you know at no point was that comfortable. It's just gold.
The like weird positions they're in.
It's not comfortable at all, not even to look at.
No.
I don't think anything in these movies is comfortable to look at, except when Jacob takes his shirt off. That's the only good part.
Facts.
Otherwise, okay. You're just so uncomfortable the whole time.
I have another question. Because, Emily, you saw this like in theaters when it came out, right?
Oh, yeah. I went to every midnight premiere, all five.
Okay. But so how many times did you see Twilight, just the first one, in theaters?
You know, I don't know. Okay, here's the deal. I don't think I saw them more than once in theaters because at the time I was a child and my parents were buying movie tickets for me and they had like a firm, like there were some movies that we weren't allowed to see in theaters because they were being cheap about it. You know, like we had to wait for it to come out to rent. So there was no way in hell they would have let me see it multiple times. As an adult, if I love the movie enough, I will see it multiple times. So I feel like if I had my own money, I would have probably gone to it at least three times in theaters. But yeah, I probably went once.
Nicole, how many times did you see it?
Well, like a ballpark answer. Yeah, definitely double digits. I don't want to admit that, but it's true. I left the theater, or left the movie theater, and then went across the hall into another theater to watch it back to back.
That's incredible.
For sure.
Yeah. Dedication. I did the same thing. And like thinking on it now, like I don't remember like who was buying my tickets to these movies, but I know I saw Twilight like 10 times in theaters. And just like Nicole said, like I remember like seeing it, like there's one day in the theater I saw it, like I was like by myself. And I had made plans with somebody to see like the next showing. And I thought I was gonna have more time to like, you know, act like I had just arrived at the theater, like ready to go. No, I walked out of the theater and like the line for the next showing was already in line. And the friend that I was meeting was like, hey, and like saw me walk out of the theater and get back in line with her.
So it was like, you weren't going to tell her that you were seeing back-to-back shows?
I was trying to like be cool about it. And
so cool. Wow, the coolness knows no bounds, truly.
All right, that was 10 minutes. We got to switch to New Moon.
Oh my God, perfect timing. Okay, New Moon. Ooh. Something that Sarah and I thought about is that she really loves New Moon, and I really hate it when we talk about the books. The same applies for the movie. I think it might be my least favorite.
I just think like New Moon, like, when you compare it to Eclipse, which I liked Eclipse, like the book, better than New Moon. Nothing happens in Eclipse until the very end. And like New Moon is more character driven, which is why I enjoyed it more. I don't really remember seeing New Moon in theaters. I know I did. But I will say that this is where we start to get, like, the movies tend to get a little bit better in quality, like, as we go along in the story. And so New Moon definitely has, like, I don't want to say professional, but it has, like, it's more cinematic, I would say. And one of the things that I like to do whenever I'm watching New Moon is I post a poll on Instagram about Jacob's best form. Because there's a good debate between people over long-haired Jacob or short-haired Jacob.
And when she says between people, she means between me and Sarah, because we've thought about this.
I mean, many people vote on my poll, I will say. And so I post it every single time because I like guys with long hair. So I think peak Jacob form is long-haired Jacob, but New Moon, when the wig is like better and like half pulled back, and it's the where have you been, Loka moment, like that is Jacob's peak form. And once Taylor Lautner gets to like cut his hair, his attractiveness, like,
listen, the wig might be better in New Moon, but it is still horrible. And I can't get beyond
he looks really good with long hair.
No, not with that nasty ass wig. If he had a better wig on, I would love him with long hair. Anyway, okay. So yeah, I will agree that the movie quality got better with New Moon. I don't think I agree with you that they kept getting better, because I think Eclipse was like the peak movie quality. Breaking Dawn just really? Was so weird for me and like disturbing and so many levels. Yeah, Eclipse is like by far my favorite movie. Maybe it's because it's my favorite book too. I don't know. But New Moon. Okay. So I distinctly remember going into the movie and being really excited to see how they would portray Bella's depression. Because Brittany, in the books, there are just blank pages that just have the months. Mm-hmm. And there's like December, January, like all you just keep turning through them. And so I was like, I wonder how they're going to like show the passage of time in the movies. And then we got the slowest freaking scene with that circle shot of Bella not moving in the chair at all. And the seasons changing in the window.
Honestly, though, from like a filmmaking perspective, I thought it was really clever. I thought it was a really great way to like show the passage of time and sort of emulate what those pages looked like in the book. I don't know. I don't mind that. That
as a person with motion sickness, I didn't like it.
Fair.
Every time I see it, I have to like look away because I'll get dizzy after one circulation. But she looked rough in that chair though.
Girl needed to get up.
Yeah. I feel like Brittany freaked out when Bella like ran into the woods. I feel like I remember you having like a really like a big reaction. You were like, get up. Why are you laying down in the woods? So
place to lay.
I like the way they did that in the movie though, where it was like there was something about it that was like almost like dreamlike to show that she wasn't really like aware of her surroundings until she got rescued. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like New Moon's kind of boring for me until we find out Jacob's a werewolf. Like everything up until that point, I'm just kind of like, this is a snooze.
What about you, Nicole?
I really liked the bonding like sessions between Bella and Jacob. It did bring a lot more like humanity to the characters. Mm-hmm. Even though I'm Team Edward, I allowed it. But yeah, I think because of my Team Edward status, that New Moon was always harder for me to get through. So just yeah. Like, all right, let's go.
Now, where's our man?
Our man with his spray painted abs.
And also, I will say, when we were watching it, we were like, it looks like he only has one nipple. And I Googled it. And I found a Reddit thread where people were talking about this. There was some weird thing in the editing room and it literally took off one of his nipples in that scene. Fun little Easter egg for you.
I'm going to have to look for that.
There was something about it. And I was like, where is his other nipple? Like, what's happening here?
My God. I remember like before I could, because I was the last person in our friend group to read New Moon. Everyone, or like Twilight in general, everyone had read New Moon before I did. And I think I knew that Edward left because everyone was like talking about how like traumatic, like whatever, I don't forget if it's chapter one or chapter two, like that scene is when we read it, when he's like officially like, peace out.
I don't know. I feel like her reaction was very intense for a relationship that had lasted for like 2 seconds.
But if you're reading this at like 13, you're like devastated and heartbroken that Edward's leaving.
Oh yeah. I feel like when I was reading it, I couldn't believe he was leaving. But then when we saw her go into a depression hole at the time, I was like, honey, he's just a boy.
He's not just any boy.
I'm sorry. He's a creepy old man who you shouldn't be dating anyway. Like, I don't know. It just wasn't very feminist of her, honestly. Oh my God. Do you remember the meme? This has been going around for 15 years, probably at this point, where it was like in Harry Potter, when Harry breaks up with Jenny at the end of the 6th book, and then it goes on his adventure. Jenny starts a freaking revolution at the school and takes care of everyone and is like fighting the Death Eaters. when Edward breaks up with Bella, she sits in a chair for 4 months. Like,
well, it's because book Ginny is like
such a badass,
amazing. While like movie Ginny is like just as bad as book Bella.
True, but there, I don't know. I just there's more to your identity than your boyfriend is just really what I want to say to Bella in New Moon. Yeah. Oh, oh my God. You know what we need to talk about? The weird Edward visions in New Moon. In his weird, like, floating body. Oh my God. Wait, Brittany, do you remember the conversation we had about this?
I remember what I thought about this.
Please, yeah, please, please tell.
I was under the impression that Edward had this ability to just appear. And the whole time I'm watching this movie, I thought he was actually there, which is why she was freaking out. And it was far into the movie where Emily was like, Brittany, he's not there.
She thought it was like a vampire power. And I was like, no, bitch is crazy.
She's okay, so you're definitely not the first person I've like heard of that has thought that. Like, there's a YouTube channel called Cinema Therapy that covers the entire Twilight saga. And during New Moon, like, one of the guys is like, so this isn't an ability that Edward has. And like the other guy's like, no, this is just her psychosis.
That's the exact conversation I have with Brittany. Talk about an unhealthy relationship dynamic. I can only see my boyfriend when I risk my life. Done.
Love that. All right. Eclipse.
Okay. There's one thing we need to talk about. Words are so hard. So when we were watching Eclipse, Brittany had a genius idea that really would have solved all of the problems, the relationship problems in the series up until this point. And I just really would like Brittany to share that so I could get y'all's reaction to her.
Is theory. This the...
Yep, it is.
Oh, I'm fully convinced that we could have solved literally all the problems, ended the series, been fine if we just had a throuple.
Yep.
It's totally fine. Like, they're at the end of the other movies. I don't know, it all blurs together to me. I saw them in very close succession only a couple months ago. I'm like, look at them, like, bonding over Bella and growing out in kind of a weird way. We can just...
Yeah. While we're watching the movie, anytime something romantic would happen, Brittany would just go... And so she started doing it when in Eclipse at the end, when they're in the cave and they're spending the night together, and Jacob and Edward are, like, bonding about... like Bella and how much they love her, basically. And she was just like, thruple, solve all the problems.
The only thing though that I think like wouldn't solve it is because we might still have Renesmee at the end of that, and then things get even fucking weirder.
I mean, oh, that's a good question. So if Edward still managed to knock up Bella, would Jacob still want to be in the thruple after Bella became a vampire?
No, because he's imprinted.
It's not like a consensual thruple situation. Everyone's welcome to leave if they need to, or if they fall in love with an infant. well, yeah, sure. I think it would work. He could break up the thruple. Things could get weird again.
He said, I'm so sorry to break up with you. I fell in love with your daughter.
It's weird. Not any weirder than just falling in love with an infant in the first place.
Yeah, but like if we remove Renesmee entirely from the picture, I think it could have worked.
Absolutely.
I feel like it probably would have started with a lot of like, no homo, bro. But by the end of it.
Bro. All of it.
We want all the homo. Yeah. Like that's what we're here for. So literally right before we filmed this episode, we were filming an episode about series of unfortunate events. And I was like, these characters are gay. And we decided it was canon. So anyone who knows me in real life, or from Twitter back in the day, knows I will find gay everywhere I look. I will make it. I will manifest the gay if possible. That was my big note for Eclipse was.
Yeah. I know. I don't really remember like a lot about Eclipse. I think they handled, this was like really the first time we sort of in filmmaking, we got to go like outside of Bella's perspective, because there's like a couple more things like going on storyline wise, but this is also the movie where they switch actors for Victoria, and
yes,
Bryce Dallas Howard comes in which like I never realized that that was her until like a year or two ago. And I think Nicole and you and I were talking about it. And like, I was like, did you know that that was Bryce Dallas Howard when I like realized it? And you were like, yeah. And I was like, I never realized it because she doesn't really look like herself in the role. Like I had been like watching her in a bunch of other things and it just like never clicked for me. And usually things like that click like really easily.
It's the wild Victoria hair threw off. Yeah. She's all hair.
What I feel like that was one of her earlier roles though, right?
Yeah, but like I had been seeing her in like the Jurassic World movies. Like she's been like someone I've been like following recently. And like I've seen clips like multiple times and I'm usually really good at being like, oh, that actor was this random person in that other series that I watched like 5 years ago. And I didn't make that connection until I like saw her name like at the in the end credits.
Yeah. Okay. Here's our question. Who was your favorite Victoria? I don't know. Okay. So in the books, they describe Victoria as being like animal-like. Like I think they compared her to like a big cat when the way she would move and the way she would walk. And I feel like in the first two movies, that Victoria really embodied that like inherent like sexiness. Whereas in Eclipse, she was just very angry and cold feeling.
Yeah, I feel like I would agree with like, yeah, her fitting that description better. Although, and maybe I'm influenced by the audiobook version of Brie Tanner, where like the voice when she's like talking to Riley and also like the Volturi was like the actor used this kind of like annoying voice that like I associate visually with like what Bryce Dallas Howard looks like in Eclipse. Mm-hmm. So that in my head fits better. But I also like, I'm someone who continuity is really important to me in movie series. Like I hate that they changed what the Dementors looked like in movie 5 versus movie 3. Like, just keep them the same, like, please. And so, you know, I don't know what happened.
Where I think she had a scheduling conflict.
Was it?
Yeah, I think I remember that.
I'm gonna Google. You know, I usually hate when they switch out actors.
Same. Oh, apparently Bryce Dallas Howard was originally considered for Victoria, but she turned it down because she said it was too small of a part. But she hadn't done anything big at that point in her career, so I don't know why she turned it down.
But I guess like she hadn't read the books then, because otherwise she would have known that Victoria has a much bigger role later on. Okay, we have 60 seconds left of Eclipse before we move on to Breaking Dawn.
Well, now that there's pressure, I can't think of anything to say. Wait, the ending. Or no, that was the ending of New Moon, not the ending of Eclipse. We didn't talk about how the movie ended. And then this whole movie was all about the engagement.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, New Moon ended with the proposal. And then
but with the audible gasp, the...
He's like, marry me, Bella. And she goes... And then an Eclipse is just like a really messy conversation lacking a lot of consent about sex and marriage.
Yeah.
For those of you at home, Brittany just made crazy eyes and vomity face. We need a verbal reaction, please, Britt.
My bad. Got you.
Perfect. That was nailed it.
Got you.
Well, speaking of marriage and sex, let's talk about Breaking Dawn part one.
Oh man.
Or we can combine parts one and parts two.
Yeah. We'll just talk about the rest of it now. I would just like to say, I have a visceral memory of being at the midnight premiere of Breaking Dawn part one and almost like feeling like I was going to vomit for the whole second half of the movie. Just like seeing Bella get skinnier and then like we'd see her joints, like her shoulder was just like there was no meat on her bones at all. And then the whole labor scene, like I had to look away. I was like literally nauseated by watching that scene.
Yeah, it's pretty gruesome. And like somehow they managed to like not have like an R rating on the film.
No idea how.
one of the things that I will say, and I disagree with you, Emily, that like with the trajectory of the films, like I do think that like they do get better, like filmmaking wise, up through the end, because I remember, Nicole, when we went to see Breaking Dawn Part One, we were like all ready to go in and like make fun of it and just be like all ready to see this like horrible movie. And at the end of the first part, we sat there and we looked at each other and we were like, why was that really good? Like they captured, like the filmmaking was just like so much better, I thought, in like this one, that like, again, it felt like a real movie, like the last couple had since the first one.
I think that also pairs with such low expectations coming from the book.
It's true.
Because they were low.
Nicole, do you want to touch on our experience of our whole Breaking Dawn experience?
It was almost unbearable to get through the book. And then when you did, it felt like, I can't even explain the letdown. So walking into that theater was like, you already knew the first few movies. They're like culty, classic-y, hilarious, but you love them anyways. So this one I had no hope for. I had no hope for Breaking Dawn. Yeah.
But we were pleasantly surprised because the filmmakers saw the book and they were like, no, that sucks. We're going to change it. And they make a very important change in the second part. You know, the vision of the battle like doesn't happen in the book. This is a complete filmmaking change.
It was an excellent choice.
Excellent choice. And I remember like not knowing that it was coming. And like when they kill Carlisle, Nicole and I looked at each other and we were like, what is happening? Like panicked, because like we were like, what is going on? They are like going in a totally different direction. What is happening? And because in the book, everybody shows up, there's going to be the showdown, and then they kind of just talk it out and they're like, oh fuck, my bad, see you later, bye. And it was horrible. Like I felt betrayed when I read it.
Yeah.
And so I think like that's why I really like respect like Breaking Dawn's parts one and two, the movies, is because they really like, they were like, no, that's crap, and we're going to make this really good. And they did. And I still to this day like sob through the credits like at the end of Breaking Dawn Part 2.
Same.
Because, like, and Nicole and I remember like we were just like crying in our seats because like it was this whole nostalgic thing, like dating back to like 7th and 8th grade, and it was just like it just gets me like so, like this thing that was like so important, you know, and like formed so many friendships was just like coming to an end. And it was just like,
the song choice for the credits was genius, I will say. So Michaela is one of our other good friends who was watching Twilight with me and Brittany. Michaela and I both were like diehard fans going into it, and we're really just watching Brittany watch the movies. So there were moments that we were talking about that we were excited to watch Brittany watch. And one of them was the fake battle scene at the end of Breaking Dawn Part 2. Yeah, watching Brittany like freak out, because it's like an almost 10 minute scene where so many main characters are dying.
They do not hold back.
They really don't. So yeah, watching Brittany watch that, she was just like, what's that? Wait, what? What?
Well, as someone who like, I hadn't read the books at all, and again, I have managed to avoid this successfully for so many years, and having no clue that this was a complete change from the book, I was just like freaking out. Just, oh my God, everyone's dead. This is a Red Wedding bloodbath. What's going on here? And then I think like where y'all were talking about feeling the disappointment of just like, oh, when you're reading the books, when we hit that point in the movie, I was like, ah, betrayal. The emotion of roller coaster, like the emotional roller coaster I experienced in that 15 minutes was aggressive.
Like, think about how bad it was. Like, if we didn't even get that in the books, like, you felt betrayed just from that, but you got to see the battle, and that's like literally not even what happens. Like, nothing happens in the book.
There was no emotional high at the end of Breaking Dawn.
Yeah, if I had read the book and experienced that, I would have been pretty upset. Just be like,
horrible. And like, Nicole and I had like just met Stephanie Meyer like when the book came out. Like, we went to the concert series in New York. We waited in line for hours to meet her, and like, it was this whole big thing, and then we were just like, how could you?
Oh man. So Brittany, I would love for you to share with us how you felt when you saw Jacob fall in love with a baby.
We do have video footage of this experience.
We do.
I remember being utterly dismayed.
Should we insert an audio clip here, Sarah, of Brittany's reaction to Jacob imprinting on the baby?
Sure. You guys send it to me and yes. I will put it in.
This is not happening. Happening. No. I can need a minute. This is what I have been waiting for.
So what team are you on now?
Well, not
There was just like this, I'm just watching it, and there's this like very slow dawning realization of what's going on, and I'm feeling more and more confused and shocked and again dismayed at the whole experience. I kept thinking, surely I'm perceiving this incorrectly.
I wasn't,
and that was more concerning.
I was really impressed that you picked up on it, honestly. Like, I kind of thought we would have to tell you what was happening, because in the movie, like, he like falls to his knees and there's like the weird like spotlight on her, but I don't think they like literally say the words, you know. They do the flashback, that's right, to when he was explaining it before. But I remember just being like, oh my god, it's coming, what's Rennie gonna do, what's she gonna do?
Well, the whole time I'm watching these movies, I always have a slight indication that something's coming up, because Michaela and Emily are on my couch and I'm kind of like off to the side of them in my big papasan chair, and I just see like this phone slide up in my peripherals. Emily's like getting ready to record something, and I just look over as I'm realizing what's going on with this whole situation, and Michaela and Emily are just like eyes wide staring me down, not watching the movie at all, just me.
Like, well, and sometimes Michaela would like hit me like, oh, there's something coming, pull your phone out.
They're trying to do it subtly as to not disturb my watching experience.
Yeah, so she always knew something was coming, because I would just be over there like bone up staring at her, and she'd be like, oh god, something's gonna happen. And but her reactions were golden, honestly.
So I remember, like, I was blindsided by like just the existence of Renesmee and like the whole thing when I was reading. But Nicole, didn't you read like spoilers before Breaking Dawn? Didn't you and Kate know about something ahead of time?
Your memory is better than mine.
Because I feel like you guys both checked like the family tree at the end of the book before you even started reading to see if it was real.
That doesn't exist in my brain. I don't know if I've replaced that information with other things, but
just I blocked it out.
We did all that kind of research.
Oh man. Oh yeah. Brittany, there's an appendix at the end of Breaking Dawn, because they introduce so many vampires from so many different countries with all these powers. So there's like literally an appendix at the end of the book that like has all of the new vampires we met by coven, and if anyone has any powers, like what they were. And I had to reference it so many times the first two times I read it, probably because I like couldn't keep straight who was who for a very long time.
I will say, as a fun little factoid, and Emily already knows this, as much as I feel the way I feel about these books, they did get a mention in my academic research this semester because it fit with my scope of research. So Twilight got a little shout out in my work this semester.
Tell us about the paper you were writing and how Twilight was featured, please.
So mainly my research for my MA and hoping to continue through my PhD will be on monsters, cryptids, various legendary mythological creatures, what their history is, like how they were realistically formed in society, and then how that turned into folklore, and how then that has shown up in literature in different ways, and how different authors have worked with that, what inspired different
authors.
That
is so fucking cool. Oh
my
God.
I'm so excited.
It's so cool.
And so for my research class this semester, I did vampires and zombies and just very short little snippets of my research for it. And so as I was talking about like Bram Stoker and just various things, I was like, and also Twilight kind of hit society pretty hard. That's vampires. Those are books.
Pretty hard, just a little bit.
Yeah. So it snuck in there. I couldn't ignore it.
When you texted us that you included Twilight in your paper, I really was so proud that I had a tiny part.
I can't remember what I said. I definitely threw like the most subtle of shade when I mentioned it, just because I am who I am. But it made it in there, and I thought you'd appreciate that.
Oh God, yeah. So basically, Brittany's like a badass with her master's program.
Do we have any last thoughts on the Twilight Saga movies?
I just have so many thoughts. I don't even know how to put them into words.
We love them and we love to hate them. And we also love them at the same time.
Yeah. Like we love them, but we acknowledge that they're terrible. Like terrible. Oh wait, Sarah, you had a thought that you wanted to wrap things up with.
Oh yes, you're right. Okay. Thank you for reminding me. So it occurred to me, so I really like adaptations. I've written a paper on adaptations in college once, and I really like figuring out like what makes a good adaptation, because I feel like some books that get made into films are terrible adaptations, even though they like included every single piece of information that's in the book. And some things that like get made into movies that like leave out some things, but then end up being really good adaptations. And I just like figuring out what makes a good adaptation. And I feel like my conclusion has been that, you know, as long as it keeps the spirit alive of the story, it usually tends to be a good adaptation, which is why Lord of the Rings can change huge things like the elves showing up at Helm's Deep. And it's still like one of the best adaptations, you know, we've seen. I came to the conclusion yesterday that the Twilight movies are actually excellent adaptations. And I think it's because that the, like, if you really think about it, like there's nothing in the movies that like they left out from the books that was like super important, which is usually the complaint with the Harry Potter movies. Like they left out X, Y, and Z. They didn't know this was important. They cut this, et cetera, et cetera. And I think it's because like the Twilight books plots are pretty straightforward, so it's pretty easy to capture everything in a single movie and also add more stuff or change like little things around, right? And so like the Twilight movies like actually like capture the essence and like the spirit of Twilight, and they really don't leave that much out. So like even though like Twilight's like a bad movie, it's still a good adaptation, which just like astounds me. I was like shocked when I came to this revelation yesterday.
Yeah, I think you're right. Like the books are huge and so long, which usually doesn't lead to a good adaptation, right? Unless you're splitting it up into multiple movies. Usually these giant books, they just have to cut so much. But in Twilight, I feel like the stuff they cut was just like nonsense conversations that like weren't really necessary to the plot. They cut like minor characters that really didn't matter at all. So like we still got the most important pieces of the books in the movies. So yeah, I don't know that I've ever really thought about like every time I read a book and see a movie, I'm analyzing all of the things that they changed, everything that they left out, anything that they added. I don't know that I ever did that with Twilight because the movies were just so bad. Like all of the conversations I had were just like, God, that movie is horrible. Like, let's watch it 12 times today. You know, like, so.
Right. But even if you like get past like the acting, it's like, it still hits the important beats mm-hmm. of each book. Like, you know, yeah. it captures like from the moment of like, who is he in the cafeteria to like the end where she's in the ballet studio. Like it hits all of those really, really important beats in all of them, I think. And so, yeah, so it's super interesting that they really like nailed it in the end. And
they really did. 10 out of 10 stars for keeping the major plot points from the books.
Yes, agree.
I've got to say, Twilight definitely, the movies, holds a special place in my heart now, something I genuinely never thought I would say, just because it's brought about like so many good experiences with my friends, so many good laughs and memories and all of that. And because it's so popular in just general culture, like I said, seeing things on TikTok or memes, things like that, it allows me to be able to connect with my friends more on another level. And I've really appreciated that aspect of the saga. That's the word.
Twilight brings people together.
Yeah. I feel like so much about why you love it is like, well, for us, nostalgia, because it's been a part of our lives for so long, but also like everyone I knew liked it. And so like you could bond with people and it was like I had my Twilight friend, my friend Lori Lynn, we saw 4 out of 5 midnight premieres together. Breaking Down Part One, we were in separate states for college and still drove home to see it together. And then we couldn't make it happen for Breaking Down Part Two and I was devastated. But like, there are so many memories of like friends, both from when they first came out and then now introducing my friend Brittany while we're in our 30s to something that I love so much and getting to like experience it with friends is part of the reason why I love it so much. Like, I don't know that I've ever watched Twilight alone. It's always been something I do with friends, you know, it's like a social thing. But
yeah, I mean, I think like for Nicole and I, it's definitely like so much nostalgia there, like so many inside jokes about like Twilight, even ones whose like origins we can't remember. Like anytime Nicole and I hear the song Build Me Up Buttercup, we think of Jasper and we have no idea why. Just why. For some reason, it's like, I hear that and I'm like, Jasper. and like, to like, I mean, Nicole, you and I used to have an inside joke that was that we were just like in a heartbeat. And it was just based off of like, which of the Collins do you think would be most likely to strip? Emmett. Obviously. So yeah, and I think that's why, like, you know, I was so excited, Nicole, when we were like finally were able to make the Twilight party happen. It was because we were able to like be 13 and nerdy again and like, you know, have fun with it.
And it exceeded expectations. It was good.
All the pictures were great.
Amazing.
I literally just sent Brittany a picture of your Rosalie costume on Instagram so she could see.
Absolutely incredible.
So good.
Yeah.
Now I feel like we should have a Twilight costume party, Brittany.
Who can I be? Who should I be?
Now you guys can't tell each other ahead of time. You have to like think about it. And then
they did surprise costumes.
Mm-hmm. Thank you guys for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Of course.
We love talking about Twilight. Oh my God, this is our last Twilight episode.
This is our official last Twilight episode, yes.
Yeah. We had 6 episodes talking about 7 Twilight books. And then this is episode 7 about all of the movies. And now we're done.
Yep.
R.I.P. Twilight. we both said, well, while we were, when we finished recording the last episode, I don't know that I'll ever read these books again. Cause it was really hard to read.
I probably will, but you know, I need a break though. It was rough. Yeah. Honestly, reading all of the Twilight books in a row by the end, it was
really hard. But really hard. As much as I'm like so confident that I'll never read the books again, I know that I'm gonna watch these movies for the rest of my life.
We'll see you guys next time. First round's on us. Rewind is written and produced by Sarah Jones Dittmeyer and Emily Cavender. It's edited by Sarah Jones Dittmeyer. Music is by Mark Schwedo. Find us on TikTok at Rewind Podcast or on Instagram at Rewind_podcast.